You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday. We did it, folks. We did it. The Buffalo Bills announced yesterday that the white face masks are here to stay. Gone is the gray, and the white face masks are the new primary face mask for the Buffalo Bills. And I am swooning. Those things are beautiful. And now we get to see them every Sunday. I think I'm actually going to buy an authentic helmet. Now that they have perfected it. Now that they have the right iteration. I got to get one of these things. So I'll be in the market for one of those with the white face masks. Those are beautiful. I'm fired up. It was the missing ingredient from this football team. 13-3 AFC Championship game. The difference between the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game could be within those white face masks. Look, you look good, you feel good. You feel good, you play good. I'm happy about this. Welcome to this Friday episode of Locked On Bills. We're going to talk about more than just the white face masks here on the podcast. Don't you worry, we're talking draft today. We're finally going to really hunker down and talk draft. And guys, this is my space, right? I've been working on this draft class since May of 2020, and I'm ready to really dive into it and talk about the players and the opportunities that the Bills have to improve their football team in the 2021 NFL draft. And so we are going to start that conversation or accelerate that conversation today. We'll have three different segments that talk about the draft. We'll start off by just having a high-level discussion about pick 30. Then I'm going to go position by position and give you the case for and against each position at pick 30. And then I'm going to close out today's podcast with a 7-round mock draft for the Buffalo Bills. So let's dig into it. Let's start with just some general ideas when it comes to pick 30. And I spoiled this in herd mentality earlier this week. But everything is on the table at pick 30. And that's a good thing. I don't think anybody should be married to any position or player. Brandon Bean has done a masterful job of crafting this roster and setting himself up to go into this draft with no glaring need. There are needs, but none of them are overwhelming, have-to-get type things. The Bills aren't going into this draft needing to find their starting right tackle or their starting defensive tackle or starting linebacker. They don't have to find anything. The franchise doesn't hinge on what happens at pick 30, and that's a good thing. And it's because Brandon Bean has built a deep, talented, and balanced roster. And so with that in mind, everything is on the table. I can be convinced that trading up is the right idea. I can be convinced that trading back is the right idea. I can be convinced that they should stay at the pick and let the board fall to them and get a good player. But that's where I'm at. I am team get a good player. And I want that player to have a path to a meaningful role on the roster, to get some returns, to get some impact out of that selection. But the overwhelming message that I want to get across right now is there's no need to be married to any one thing. It's all on the table, and it's on the table for a good reason. And the Bills don't have to reach for anything. they can get good value and add a young player to this football team that can make it better. So I am team get good players. That's my draft philosophy for the Bills this year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL seasons are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, and they have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are going to keep the line moving here, but I want to expand our conversation that we had in segment one about not being married to any one thing, getting good players, and quickly go position by position and present the case for the Bills picking a player at that spot. Or if it's a position that doesn't make a lot of sense, let's talk about why and why the Bills should not be really considering that. But honestly, there's only a couple spots where I really feel like that's the case. But we'll start with one that doesn't make a lot of sense, and that's quarterback. I don't think there's any case to be made for the Bills to pick a quarterback at pick 30. Josh Allen's the guy. He's the guy. He's coming off the best season in franchise history at quarterback. Top three NFL MVP candidate. Still on his rookie deal. He's an ascending talent. Josh Allen's the guy. So there's no case to be made for a quarterback at 30, but there is good news here. Because the Bills have no need at quarterback, every time a quarterback comes off the board before pick 30, that means it pushes down another player closer to the Bills. And I think there's going to be five quarterbacks off the board before the Bills pick at 30. Probably well before they pick, potentially in the top 10. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, Zach Wilson from BYU, Justin Fields, Ohio State, Trey Lance, North Dakota State, Mac Jones, Alabama. All these guys, I anticipate coming off the board in the first 10 picks of the draft, and that means five players are pushed down the board because the Bills were never going to pick any one of those guys, and that's good news. So no case to be made at quarterback, but the silver lining with that is five of these guys are going to go early, and that's going to push other players down the board closer to the Bills. Running back. The case to be made at running back is there's a clear path to this being an upgraded position and one where the Bills can find an immediate impact. You draft a running back at 30, I think that player, whether it's Travis Etienne, who would be the running back I would prefer, if it's Najee Harris out of Alabama, if it's Javonte Williams from North Carolina, I think all three of those players are upgrades over either Zach Moss or Devin Singletary. And so when you're talking about a guy that's going to touch the football 200-plus times in a season, getting a better player to do that means you've upgraded. Especially if they bring pass-catching ability and speed. So not only do you get a better player, but you add a skill set that doesn't exist outside of Matt Breida. And, you know, there's a chance that they're happy with this trio of Breida, Moss, Singletary, and they roll with that, and that's fine with me too. But we're here to talk about why these could be in play. Another reason running back could be in play is that these players enter the NFL in their prime. And we're talking about pick 30. Some positions, it's going to be hard for that player to command a role early, develop to the point where they can make an impact, and give the Bills a return on that investment. Running back, that's not really a question. So I think the immediate impact opportunity at running back is pretty high. Another case for running back is, you've heard me say this before, investing in your strengths is important. You want to make sure your strengths stay strengths. And when you think about the Bills offense as a whole, it's the strength of the football team. But within that strength, the weakness is the running back situation. So you improve your strength overall offense in the way that it can be most improved. And then lastly, I would say having a running back that is more dynamic, that brings more in the passing game, that would be more of a threat on zone read and RPOs, things like that, it's a benefit to Josh Allen and the offense overall. So if the Bills were picking 15 or 20, I'm not talking about running backs, but it's 30. And pick 30 opens my eyes a bit within the context of this Buffalo Bills team for there being an argument to be made about a running back being the pick at pick 30. Let's move to tight end. I think there's a very, very, very small case to be made for a tight end at pick 30. The best argument you could sell me on is that the Bills are going to incorporate a significantly higher percentage of 12 personnel reps, which means two tight ends on the field. And I think they have a nice little duo here in Dawson Knox and Jacob Hollister, which you've heard me talk about here a lot on this podcast. So if you convince me that they're going to go 12 personnel heavy and they need this other tight end to really make that work, and it's the layer to the offense, the wrinkle to the offense that Brian Daboll needs to stay ahead of what teams are going to do to try to counter what the Bills are doing offensively, if that's the wrinkle they need and they have to get this tight end at that spot to do it, all right, I can, you know, at least somewhat see the case to be made. But at the end of the day, tight ends are very slow developing. And I know that I say that a lot, but the reason that they're slow developing is because these guys are coming into the NFL and they're basically having to learn how to play offensive line and receiver. It's hard enough to do either one of those things independently, let alone both. That's why they're slow developing. So I don't really buy into tight end at 30, but if the Bills say Pat Freiermuth from Penn State is the guy that they need to incorporate this wrinkle, all right. But as far as what options would be on the table, Pat Freiermuth and that's it. And I'd much rather talk about Pat Freiermuth in the mid to late second round. Wide receiver. I am absolutely in on the idea that the Bills should consider a wide receiver at pick 30. You guys know how often I've said this. This is a wide receiver-centric offense, and it requires four good ones. You have to keep the fastball. Maintain those ingredients that helped make Josh Allen successful in 2020 all the time. Four dynamic wide receivers that bring terrific route running ability and hands to the table. They have that right now. Right now, there's no immediate need at wide receiver. But folks, Emmanuel Sanders is a one-year thing most likely. Cole Beasley is aging and his contract's up after 2022. You got to make sure that cupboard stays full. You need to be ahead of things at wide receiver. So go get yourself an Elijah Moore from Ole Miss and stay ahead of that curve. And when Sanders leaves after 2021, you have that replacement already identified, has a year under his belt with Josh Allen, and can really evolve and step into a bigger role in the offense. So I am all about the Bills maintaining a deep, talented, and dynamic quartet of receivers, not to mention what you need in terms of depth. Let's talk interior offensive line. I think the upgrade potential at interior offensive line is clearly there. John Feliciano and Cody Ford are the two starters. Can we be honest? I know Cody Ford's talented. He's proven nothing in the NFL. He has not proven anything to me that I should be convinced that he's the answer at guard. I hope he is. I think he can be. But we don't have anything to really stand on to support that. And John Feliciano is on a pay-as-you-go contract. I know he's tight with Josh Allen, great for the locker room. Everybody seems to love John Feliciano, but he's probably an average player on a year-to-year contract. And both Ford and Feliciano have been plagued with injuries over the last two seasons. So I think introducing a player here is not a bad idea. The big question when it comes to interior offensive line at pick 30 is the value proposition. Are you going to get a value player? You can get starting interior offensive linemen throughout the draft. It's not a hard position to fill. It's a lot like running back. It's a tried and true philosophy to go and get value at running back and find starters in the middle round. Same thing with interior offensive line. But I do think that there's a course here and, you know, something that seems okay on the surface, but when you really think about what the Bills here have at interior offensive line in terms of Ford and Feliciano, I think there's more questions than answers when it comes to forecasting them long term. At offensive tackle, I do think this is a position that's tough to see the course. On one hand, I always love the idea of investing in a premium position and one that matters to protecting Josh Allen, but the Bills have their tackle tandem locked up in Dawkins and Williams. So to me, the only real reason the Bills should pick an offensive tackle at pick 30 is if the value is insane. If Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State happens to be available. Something along those lines, where it's just so much of a value that they stick out on the board and you have no other choice but to pick them. Let's talk defense. We'll start with defensive end. This is a prime position in my mind. Premium position, right? Edge rusher, it matters a lot in the NFL. The upgrade potential for the Bills is quite obvious. Mario Addison is in decline. Jerry Hughes is, you know, getting closer to it. Still playing at a high level, but, you know, the drop-off's coming. A.J. Epenesa is still unproven. You know, I like F.A. Obada, but he's a one-year guy. So I think you have short and long-term concerns. And I think the big picture, getting younger at a premium position, matters a lot. Now, the challenge with defensive ends in the bottom 25% of the first round is they just never pan out. I went through this a month or so on the podcast where you talk about historically the last 10 years of the NFL draft, the defensive ends taken in the bottom 25%, there's no hits, like literally none. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about T.J. Watt and him being a hit, and he was picked like 28 or something like that. T.J. Watt is a rush linebacker in a 3-4 defense. I'm talking 4-3 defensive end. You can't find me a success story over the last 10 years of a defensive end picked in the bottom 25% of the first round. Defensive tackle. Here's the problem with defensive tackle. I think it's a worthwhile discussion because, you know, I don't know. Star Latulule, I'm glad he's back. I think there's a long-term concern there at one tech. You know, I'm not sure this is a guy that's going to be playing a long, long time and giving the Bills quality play at one tech. I think they need depth behind him. I'm not really sold on Vernon Butler or Harrison Phillips as guys that are going to command a combined 50-60% of the snaps at one tech. I think they need youth overall on the interior defensive line. I don't know about the options behind Ed Oliver. Right now it's Vernon Butler / Justin Zimmer, maybe a little F.A. Obada for a rotation-heavy defensive line. You know, I don't know. I'm not super sold on what they have. So the question here, the problem when it comes to this idea is I don't love this defensive tackle class. I don't know that at pick 30 there's a guy that I'm going to love. I think there's some A-gap defenders that I like on, you know, in the third or fourth round, guys like Aleem McNeil from NC State, Tyler Shelvin, LSU, Tommy Togiai from Ohio State. There's guys that like third round, but I don't know about pick 30 in terms of that being a good spot to find a defensive tackle. Let's go to linebacker. This isn't a position that really stands out to me as one that makes a lot of sense at pick 30. I think if they were to make this pick, it would need to be somebody who is a matchup linebacker that can play in space and really be an option as a slot safety sub-package defender. Think about the Panthers when they had Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, and then they still drafted Shaq Thompson. It would need to be a player like that. So Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame is a player that fits that. The other side of this is, if you really believe that this player can come in and do the Lorenzo Alexander role, play Sam linebacker, give you a guy that can zone drop, and give you rush potential, then yeah, I can get behind that. But in terms of weak side linebacker, true Mike linebacker, the Bills have their guys in Edmonds and Milano. So I don't know that there's a very clear answer when it comes to linebacker, and I'm not super high on the idea, unless it is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah or Zaven Collins, but I probably would be happier with other ideas. Cornerback, this one's obvious. This is one of the highest-ranking things that the Bills should look at addressing early in the draft, even at pick 30. The upgrade potential is obvious. Levi Wallace is the floor. That's okay, but it's certainly upgradable. Levi Wallace on a one-year deal right now. I think the Bills need to get better long-term. They need to get more dynamic in terms of physical gifts opposite of Trey White to give them that opportunity to play some more man coverage. And I think another big selling point when it comes to cornerback in the first round is you're already paying Trey White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde in your secondary. Getting a talented player on a rookie deal makes a lot of sense for finding that starter in the room. So you get that economic option to go with three other guys out of your four defensive backs that are getting paid handsomely. Not to mention Taron Johnson, the Bills' starting slot corner, is on an expiring contract. So there's plenty of reasons to believe cornerback is a logical idea. Safety, this is one that I have a hard time buying into. This is kind of like the linebacker situation where if you can be featured in sub, you could be a slot safety, you could play big nickel, and you're really dynamic at that, then I can get behind it. But, I mean, Poyer and Hyde, they're here. They're locked up. They're not going anywhere. And so unless you can play 60-plus percent of the snaps in sub, I'm not sure I can buy into the safety idea. So we went through all the positions. We talked about, you know, the cases for them or, you know, maybe some of the positions more why it shouldn't be the idea. But I kind of laser in on the following. High on my list, cornerback, defensive end, wide receiver. I think those are the three positions that I like most. And that's not getting into players and value and who falls, all that type of stuff certainly goes into the discussion. But all things being equal, cornerback, defensive end, wide receiver, and I'm not sure I am solid in what order I believe. Those are the three that stand out to me. But as we went through, there's a case to be made for several other positions. But in terms of premium positions, course to helping the team, player that I think I'll like will be available, those three are certainly at the top of the list. Need to tell you guys about Built Bar. These things are the best tasting protein bars on the planet. They have tons of amazing flavors. I love the cookies and cream. The apple almond crisp is really good. Some of the white chocolate stuff they've been putting out is phenomenal. You got to try these things out. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. It's like eating a candy bar, but they're good for you. Built Bars are great for anyone who is health conscious. Whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat, you got to try Built Bars. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone who is on the keto diet. I've got a deal for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's close out the week and the podcast today by running through a little 7-round Buffalo Bills mock draft. And of course, you can do your own mock drafts by visiting thedraftnetwork.com. Check out the mock draft machine, and you can be Brandon Bean. You can make the picks for the Bills. And it's a really fun feature that we have on the website where, you know, you can click on the names and read our scouting reports on the players. If you're a premium member, you can read the full trait-by-trait scouting reports in addition to making trades up and down the order. So check out thedraftnetwork.com and our mock draft machine, and you can do your own simulations and have a lot of fun. I spent a lot of time doing this, and I'm really proud of that feature that we have at the Draft Network. So I have already conducted this mock draft, and so I want to talk through the picks that I made, why I made them, and just give you an idea of a scenario that I think makes a lot of sense and one that I support. So at pick 30, my choice was Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. I already talked about why I think wide receiver should be on the table for the Bills at pick 30. But as far as Elijah Moore goes, I just think he's a perfect fit for the offense. Whether that's stepping in for the Emmanuel Sanders role, whether that's being the long-term replacement for Cole Beasley, he is a super twitched-up, dynamic route runner. He has 4.3 speed. He's super dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's got great ball skills and hands. He can win down the field. He's an alpha at the catch point, despite not being very big. I just think he's the right guy for this offense. And I got a feeling the Bills like him a lot. So I would get familiar with Mr. Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. I just think he's a slam dunk fit for the Buffalo Bills offense. At number 61, I went with Ifeatu Melifonwu, cornerback from Syracuse. I think he's a slam dunk fit as well. 6'2", 210 pounds. He can play in zone, and he's really athletic. He's a guy that can turn and run and play some man coverage. He's got all kinds of length. I think he's got good ball skills. He's tough. There's no matchup restrictions with him. Like, he's got that type of physical ability where he can line up against big-bodied wide receivers, and he'll put the cap on speed guys as well. So I think he's a really nice fit for the defense. Then I traded up. I traded up from 93 to 82, and I gave up 236 and a 2022 seventh-round pick to get to 82, made that deal with the Washington football team. And I went and got Peyton Turner, a defensive end from Houston. He's long. He's athletic. He's got really nice flexibility for his size. He plays with a hot motor. He's powerful, good ankle flexion. He's just a guy that is a bit raw. Like, he's just got to put together more of a refined pass rush plan. He's got to clean up his stance a little bit. He's got a little false step that slows him down at times. But in terms of size, athleticism, length, power, effort, I like his developmental appeal to maybe be the starter with AJ Epenesa long term. Then I traded up again. So I packaged 161 and 174 to get to 118 with the Los Angeles Chargers. And I got defensive tackle Aleem McNeil from NC State. You guys got to check this guy out. He's like 6'2", 320 pounds. Former running back from high school. He played linebacker and running back in high school. He had 40 rushing touchdowns throughout his high school career. He's a really good baseball player as well in high school. And at NC State, you know, you could tell he's still developing at defensive tackle, but he has a lot of juice. He's a big dude. He's probably best served to play in the A-gaps, kind of that one tech. But I think he's got some pass rush ability too, and he's really, really stout. He just got to get the technique down. Still new to the position. Long term, I think he can be the starter at one tech and give the Bills a more dynamic option in a couple seasons. So he's one of my favorite players in the rising draft class. Would love to see him as a Buffalo Bill. So that left me with just pick 213 left after I traded, you know, several day three picks to move up in the order. And with pick 213, I went with Kerry Angeline, tight end from NC State. Tall, 6'7", 250 pounds. I think he's pretty loose and fluid for that size. I think he's got really natural, soft hands. I think he's a pretty good route runner. He's a guy that I just think is a better version of Tommy Sweeney. You know, like, I think he's a better athlete, comparable in terms of blocking skills, comparable in terms of hands, but he's just a better athlete. He's a little bit more dynamic. And so as the potential tight end three challenging Tommy Stevens for that roster spot, maybe eventually taking over for Jacob Hollister if he winds up not being a longer-term play, I like that. I think the Bills need to get some bodies in that tight end room to challenge the depth that exists behind Knox and Hollister. So we went wide receiver Elijah Moore at 30, cornerback Ifeatu Melifonwu, Syracuse at 61. We traded up to 82 and picked Peyton Turner, a defensive end from Houston, at 118. Again, we traded up from 161. We gave up 174. To get up to 118 and get defensive tackle Aleem McNeil from NC State. And then at 213, we picked Kerry Angeline, tight end from NC State. So I like the players that I picked, obviously. What I don't like about this draft haul in particular is that I didn't find any young offensive linemen. I wasn't able to get, you know, a developmental starter on the interior. I didn't find a developmental guy at offensive tackle to, you know, eventually be that guy that can back up both spots. I wish I was able to find those things, but I really wanted to move up for those defensive linemen. So I think this puts a little bit of stress back on Brandon Bean to find some serviceable veteran offensive line depth, something he's proven able to do. And that also helped me laser in more on helping the defensive line than the offensive line because of that. So I like this haul. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Give me your feedback. Let me know what you think. We'll do a lot more mock drafts here on the podcast. And really my goal with a lot of them is presenting different scenarios. So what I wanted to do with this one is show you the course with picking a wide receiver in the first round and then also that aggressiveness and willingness to move up in the middle rounds, packaging later picks to go higher in the middle rounds to get specific targets that I think can fill roles. So as we do more and more mock drafts on the podcast in the coming weeks, just know that a lot of it is just, hey, I want to show you this scenario. I like these players. If they do this, this could happen. So next time it might be, all right, let's go defensive end. Let's go corner here in the first round and look at the domino effect and different options that I like at different spots. So this is my kickoff to 2021 mock drafts in the podcast. There'll be a lot more to come. So don't miss them. Make sure you're subscribed. Would love it if you rate, review, and share the podcast. Certainly hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy some time with your family. Hopefully it's spring weather where you are and you can get outside and have some fun. That's certainly my plan this weekend. Going to play a lot of golf and enjoy some family. So have a good weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.